Welcome to the Hashimoto's Healing Podcast. I'm Chelsea, a fellow Hashimoto's warrior and registered dietitian, and I'm here to help you through your Hashimoto's healing journey and get you feeling good. Yes. Each week we will dive deep and provide you with tips, tricks, and everything you need on your healing journey from myself and some amazing guests in the community. If you're ready to start ditching those Hashimoto's symptoms and jump headfirst into your healing journey, then stick around. Let's get started. Hello, welcome back. I am so excited for this week's episode, guys. We have the amazing Miss Ariel Bloom here. She is just so, first of all, she lives on a farm, which is like so cool. And she just moved to, and she just helps so many women optimize their health, their relationship with their body, with food, in their business, if you have a business, and really just help your life become resilient. And I love watching you, Ariel. I'm so glad that you're here.
I'm so glad that we're both here. How fun is this reconnection? But thank you so much for that intro. That was so lovely.
Of course. So I would love to just have you introduce yourself and tell us what you do, who you help, how you got here.
Amazing. Sure. So my name is Ariel Bloom, like you said. And I really didn't have a very traditional path to getting to where I am. I kind of like to tell this story before I say who I help, because I think that it's helpful to know how I got here and why I do what I do. And that makes a lot more sense as to what I do with those people. So growing up, I was not an athlete. I did not really align with that type of person. I was super unconfident in myself, in my ability to do really anything. And so that to me kind of resonated as staying in a little bit more of a comfort zone place. Mm-hmm. I basically quit any type of physical activity thing that there was. I didn't stick anything out. As soon as it got hard, I left. Until I got into college and I really fell in love with fitness, because it kind of transformed how I viewed myself. Mm-hmm. And it transformed the mindset that I had around hard things. And as soon as I started to get stronger and started to see that shift that getting stronger made for me, I started to look for more ways to get stronger, to be healthier, to fuel my body in a way that was in alignment with that. The problem was that all I found was the message that you could lose 10 pounds, or here's how to lose 20 pounds. Here's how to tone your booty. Like, it was all of these things around how to manipulate my body to change it to be a different way. And part of the problem was I didn't resonate with that message. I wasn't looking for that. And the other part of the problem was, because that's all I kept finding, it kept coming up as a potential message of, hey, maybe this is what you should be focusing on. Maybe this is what you should do. And so it was a really weird battle all through college of, well, how do I maintain my activity level? Because I loved working out, but then how do I also make myself as small as possible? And so for my entire college career, essentially, I really struggled with disordered eating and disordered body image, because there was so much conflicting information of, well, I want to get stronger. I want to be strong like the boys. And I'm supposed to look a certain way because that's what all of this information is telling me. So I started to do a lot more digging on my own to try and figure out, okay, how can I have the best of both worlds? How can I look good? Because that was important to me too. But how do I also feel good and perform well in the gym? And so that was all of my college career until after I graduated. And when I graduated, I was still really into fitness and I wasn't sure where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do. I knew that it wasn't going to be a traditional path for me. It just has never been that way. And I just knew that I wanted to help people. And the more that I learned about nutrition and fueling myself, and the more that I taught that to other people, it became really evident that coaching in some way was going to be that thing for me. I thought at the time it was going to be in fitness, because that's kind of all I knew was coaching CrossFit. So I went down the path of pursuing a professional CrossFit coaching career, and I got pretty far. Like, I did it for quite a few years. And then I started to really notice the toll that that was taking on my health. And that inkling of you should be different, like you should be looking different, you should be fueling differently, was that kept coming up for me. And it wasn't until I hit kind of like my rock bottom, like I call it, because I had every food sensitivity under the sun. I couldn't eat anything without getting bloated or getting some sort of reaction digestively. And on top of that, I was having such weird autoimmune condition issues. Like I would get hives as soon as I got cold and I wouldn't be able to sleep. And all of these different things were kind of pointing to something needed to change. So finally I hit that rock bottom place where I couldn't eat anything. I really couldn't train anymore because I couldn't sleep and my back hurt all of the time. Like my shoulders hurt all of the time. And I had to take a really deep look at myself and say, what needs to change here? Because nothing changes if nothing changes. And I had to get really clear and really honest with myself around what I was doing that was not allowing me to be a healthy human that I looked on the outside. Because I looked, for all intents and purposes, super healthy, super fit. And it just was not the case internally. And so all of that's my kind of long-winded way of saying what I do now. And right, and now I help mostly high-performing women reprioritize their health, whether they hit rock bottom or whether they're on their way there now. Like I try and catch you before you get there and help you reprioritize your health so that you can feel amazing and still look amazing in the body that you're in. Because if you don't feel good, you're not going to do good. Mm-hmm. And my purpose in life is to rise the tides and to support other people in stepping into their power and being leaders in their communities. So that's what I do.
I love it. So good. Yeah. Thank you for sharing your story. And it's so powerful, you know, especially with Hashimoto's. It's so, your story is very similar to a lot of women who have Hashimoto's as well in the autoimmune world. And, you know, a lot of us went from being totally fine, fit, you know, had some kind of either a weight loss journey or a physical activity journey, some kind of journey where we were feeling good. And then all of a sudden we had issues. And that's my story. So very similar to my story too. And I think it's beautiful that you basically help women when they're at a point knowing they need help, but they just don't know how to put themselves first. And that's a big issue when it comes to autoimmunity and thyroid health, is there's so much other stuff happening in our lives and we're so used to putting ourselves on the back burner that how do we all of a sudden step forward and be comfortable and okay with putting ourselves first and working on ourselves and empowering ourselves?
Yes. And that's the biggest thing that I find as like that first hurdle, right? It's how can I change the mindset of putting myself first is selfish? Why is selfish a bad thing?
Right.
You know, like we put our oxygen mask on first. That's what we're told to do. So why can't we take that and apply it? Because if I'm not my best self, I don't show up as my best self for other people. So whatever I'm supporting them in isn't actually going to be that good a support anyway, unless I show up as that fullest person.
Right. Yeah. And I think one of the, like the main things is, at least that I teach and what I see with the women I work with in the Hashimoto's world, is actually saying like, no, I get to take care of myself. It's not about everyone else and then I come next. It's no, I come first so I can help the other people. And I bet you and I both have been on both sides of that spectrum. And we see how much that the part of helping everyone else and then ourselves just doesn't help you heal, doesn't help you move forward, doesn't help you become resilient or have a good relationship with yourself or your body or your environment.
Right. Right. And it's such a powerful shift that you can make when you finally can say, I'm going to take care of me first so that I can take care of you better.
Yeah. Yeah. So what would you say is like one tip or one thing Hashimoto's warriors could do to like start the journey of putting themselves first?
So I had this conversation actually recently with a client. She doesn't have Hashimoto's, but it was this conversation around, you know, like, how do I start to reprioritize myself? Because for so long, we don't. And a big part of it is recognizing why. Mm. Like, why, what at its core is actually the reason that you need to prioritize yourself? Unless, if you don't have that understanding and you don't have the alignment with that, then it's going to be really hard to make the change, because it's like throwing spaghetti at a wall and seeing what sticks. Like, there's no real direction.
Right.
Once you clearly define this is why this is going to make that much of an impact, then it becomes really easy to make decisions that align with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that, because it's so true. It's, what's your why? Why are you here? What, like, what do you want? Who is the highest version of yourself, and what decisions mm-hmm. can you make to get to that person? Mm-hmm. And I think we often think that healing is diet and working out and that's it. And I think we forget the very important step, or we don't forget, we know we have to work on our mindset, but I think we choose to do the other things first because we think that we're going to get to where we want faster.
Yeah. And it's also uncomfortable. Like, it mm-hmm. sucks, because you're opening doors and you're uncovering things that you've buried.
Yeah.
And they have been buried for a reason. They don't just like get there on accident. Like, we don't like those feelings. We don't like come stirring them up again. So it's, and that's the part that I think is really hard. And it's the part that I really feel for my clients with, because it sucks. Mm-hmm. And when you're out of it on the other side, you feel so much better that it's like, why wouldn't you just take the little bit of time? I guess it's not really a little bit of time, right? But like, take the time to dig and dig deeper and dig deeper mm-hmm. and keep asking why until you get down to the root of why you're feeling a certain way, or why you feel like you can't prioritize yourself.
Yeah. And I feel like an important thing to say here for anyone listening is that you don't have to do it alone. Like, no, you can get help with the digging. And oh, if yes. I didn't have help with digging and still have help with digging, I don't think I'd be here where I'm at today either. And yeah. I think the only reason I was able to start a healing journey and was able to ditch my symptoms of Hashimoto's is because I actually dug up a lot of the trauma, the stress, generational trauma, past life stuff. And if I didn't open those doors, which, trust me, those doors were like welded shut and were really hard to open and very uncomfortable. Oh, yeah. And it still are. I don't think I would be able to even take a step in the right direction to start healing and showing up for myself and feeling better at all.
Yeah. It's so powerful once you, because the problem I think is like, yes, it's uncomfortable and it gets worse before it gets better. So when we're digging through all of this stuff, all of the trauma, those doors that are welded shut, mm-hmm. it gets worse first, because now we have all this awareness of things that we previously were not worrying about. And now we have to essentially navigate, okay, maybe I do have emotional eating triggers, or maybe I do have these things, and I have to now work. I get to work on these things. I get to work on these triggers. And also I now have this awareness of all of these other things that I kind of like shoved away. Mm-hmm. So until you process them, it gets a little bit worse before it gets better. But that's almost like in every healing journey, right? Like, if you're trying to heal your gut health, it's going to get a little bit worse before it gets better, because everything's got to make its way out. Everything's got to make its way up, and then it's got to go out of your system. So we kind of have to be, and I think that it helps to just be prepared for it to get worse before it's better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And, you know, getting worse, it doesn't have to be like hitting rock bottom or anything like that. Yeah, it's just opening up a lot of feelings and emotions and working on your relationship with yourself, which is never easy to do. And something I think we kind of avoid, because it's easier to pretend like it doesn't matter.
Right.
And, exactly. You know, like, I think a huge, huge, huge part of healing with Hashimoto's, thyroid health, autoimmunity, is how you view yourself, how you view the importance of yourself, your mindset, your nutrition, your body, your food, you know, everything that goes mm-hmm. in and around your body, emotional, physical, mental. And like what it, you have a relationship with everything from your food to your environment, to your parents, to your computer. Like, I think we don't realize how many relationships we have, and that we have to almost take a step back and question why that relationship is so important.
Yeah. Bingo. It's one of those things where I think also some of those relationships, and I'm talking more along the technology side, like when we have relationships where we're kind of reliant on technology, our phone, maybe it's our computer, whatever it is, maybe we're addicted to some reality TV, these things, we have to really get clear on, like you said, the relationship and why that relationship matters. Mm-hmm. Because there is something really, really valuable in naming why you have a relationship with your family, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we love them. Maybe you don't love your family. That's okay too. Mm-hmm. And we have to also name why we have a relationship with technology. Like, what is it that you get? We get a payoff from everything in our lives. That's why it's there. But what is the payoff that we get from technology? And is the payoff worth more than what maybe the negative side effects are?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I definitely think our relationship, and we could take technology into social media, of course, mm-hmm. is our relationship with social media definitely plays a role with our relationship with our body, our food, oh, yeah. our thoughts. And, you know, I would love to know your advice on how, when you're on a healing journey, to kind of work on that relationship, but also block out the things that aren't serving us on that healing journey.
Mm-hmm. That's a super fantastic question. I think one of the biggest things is recognizing that the tools aren't inherently bad or inherently good, right? Mm-hmm. Like, social media is not inherently bad. Are there accounts that can be triggering for people? Absolutely. But there are also some really, really great people that you can use as support and you can use as inspiration on your journey. And I think a really big part of it is giving yourself, you know, the permission to set the boundaries around those things.
Yeah.
Maybe it's deciding on this journey, you're going to unfollow. Like, I call it a spring cleaning. Go through and find all of the accounts that maybe are triggering to you or maybe are making you feel a certain way about yourself. Go ahead and unfollow or mute them. If it's like a friend or family member, don't feel bad about muting them. They don't know that. And if it's going to help you feel better, that's a boundary to set.
Yeah.
And then go find people or accounts that make you feel inspired and make you feel like you are on the right path. You know, like, use those tools to your advantage. They don't have to be inherently bad.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think if I didn't have social media on my healing journey, again, I wouldn't be here. Thank goodness Instagram brought out that mute button, because used to not be here. And
right.
It's like, do you remember when MySpace was a thing? You had to like rate your friends, and it was that's what it brings back. And that's triggering, right? That's like a horrible memory. And, it just feels like starting a journey. When you start a healing journey, especially with Hashimoto's, your relationship with everything does get questioned, but your relationship with yourself, I find, is the most important, like, first step. Mm-hmm. Is how do you feel about healing? Do you feel good about healing? Does it make mm-hmm. you feel scared? Does it make, you know, are you blocking it? Like, what is going on inside your head when the word healing comes up? And these are all great questions to ask yourself So that when the other things trickle in, you already are kind of prepared with the mindset that goes hand in hand with a healing journey.
Yeah, 100%. And one of the biggest things, you know, is like whatever we believe is going to be the truth. Mm-hmm. So if you believe that you are not going to heal, you're not. And it's just because of confirmation bias. You will now have every reason in the world that's going to point to you not healing. Mm-hmm. The beautiful thing about that, though, is on the flip side, if you believe without a speckle of a doubt that you are going to heal and it's going to get better, it will get better. There is not necessarily a specific timeline for that, but if you genuinely believe it, you're going to make decisions, you're going to be aligned with healing. Mm-hmm. And it's just because what we put out, we attract. So if we are putting out the fact that we're not going to heal, that's not just like woo-woo. It's legitimately how our brains work. We're only going to find the things that are going to support our belief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is crazy to think we have so much power, which I thought was one of the coolest things I learned, that your mindset creates your reality. And it's so true. Mm-hmm. Like attracts like. You really, like, what your subconscious is saying, thinking, doing, you, that's what life is. And call me crazy, but I am a firm believer in that, because it is so, so, so true. Yeah. And I think, you know, even when women are diagnosed with Hashimoto's, I would call that their rock bottom. Not everyone, but I know for me, it definitely was. It was so scary and lonely and just like, mind you, I've had many rock bottoms, but that was just one. And I think it's okay to have a rock bottom. I think it's okay to, you know, need to learn from an event or something that happened in your life that didn't make you feel good, that was difficult to get through.
Yeah. I have a friend that said it exactly what you said, you know, like, it's okay to get there. And I think as high performing people, we almost have to get there on our own. Mm-hmm. It's not enough for someone else to tell you about their experience. Like, it's kind of like, I'll get there when I get there, or like, that won't happen to me. And truthfully, like, I've had many rock bottoms myself. Did I learn from all of them? I learned things. I learned pieces that put together who I am now. And I had to go through all of those experiences to be where I am and to be who I am. So I agree. I don't think hitting rock bottom is a bad thing. Would I love to stop everybody before they get there? Absolutely. I wouldn't wish rock bottom on anybody, but I do think, like you said, like, it's okay to get there because you can only go up.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's beautiful with what you do, Arielle, is you help women go up and realize that they can go up, and that really their mindset creates and impacts the change that they get to make in their life. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a beautiful thing to have that option of support, because it's hard to find support, and it's hard to find people who get what you're going through. And I think that's the beauty of you and your mission, and, you know, everything from the food that you cook to your relationship with yourself to the people you have in your circle all affects the change you get to make.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
I love it. I love it. I love it. So, in closing, I'm going to ask you a tough question, I think.
Okay.
You know, I've hit rock bottom. I just got diagnosed with Hashimoto's, something's not working in my life with Hashimoto's, and I just need to feel better. I'm tired of feeling sick and tired. What is the number one thing I can start doing right now that's going to help me?
Wow, you weren't kidding with a tough question. Man. Okay. So hitting rock bottom is really hard. And the first thing that you get to do is give yourself grace for being there. Mm. Because a lot of times we are super, super quick, especially as high performing people, recovering high achievers, I like to call us, type A's. Yes. we get so hard on ourselves. Like, how could I let this happen to myself? This is all my fault, regardless of what the truth or the statement or the facts are. You are a human being and you learn from mistakes. And so being hard on yourself in that moment, it's not going to serve you going forward. So what's going to serve you? And it's giving yourself grace and acknowledging that, okay, here's where I am, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. It's so mm-hmm. true. We would have so much compassion for other people when they go yeah. through the same thing we go through. So why not have it for yourself? That was beautiful. And I totally agree. And that's empowering. Being able to pause and say, you know what I'm going through is happening. It's happening, but I get to give myself grace in this situation because it's hard. And giving yourself grace is not permission to do whatever the F you want, but it's permission to really take the journey and empower yourself and show up for yourself and really just feel good.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of my biggest core values is radical personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. And a big piece of what I do is empowering you through education, understanding why you have thoughts maybe that you have, or why you make decisions around food maybe that you do, what foods are going to help nourish you the way that you want to be nourished. But all of it comes down to you taking the responsibility for your life. And when you show up that way and you take that responsibility, then you can help other people take responsibility in their lives.
Yeah.
And that's the way that we create that ripple effect, right? It doesn't start with 1,000 people. It starts with one. And that one is you.
Right. Yeah. It's so true. So true. I love it. Well, Ariel, thank you so much. This was such a good conversation. And so I feel like if you're listening to this, those who are listening, I'm sure you needed to hear all this today. That you're capable, give yourself grace, and any healing journey is hard, but it gets to happen for you. And we're both here to support you through it. And so before we go, Ariel, what do you have going on right now? Where can people find you?
Okay. So very exciting. I'm doing a webinar series. Depending on when this airs, it may pass, but the webinar series is all about navigating, you know, like the social summer scene. Mm-hmm. And because I want you to feel empowered, I want you to enjoy your life. So we're going to talk about all good things. And that's starting July 1st. And then I have a group course coming up starting July 12th. And it's a women's group coaching program called Navigating Nutrition. If you want to learn more about that, you can go to my Instagram at @Ariel_Bloom. And it's literally all I talk about. So you'll definitely find it there.
That and all of her cute animals.
Oh yes. Farm animals galore.
I love it. Well, all of Ariel's info will be in the show notes, guys. Make sure you check her out on Instagram. And thank you, Ariel, so much. This was so good.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.